And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Tuesday, April 9th. I am Josh Engelman, and I'm here to break down an 11-game NBA slate. This is the first day of the final week of the regular season. We had no games yesterday for the NCAA championship game, so now we're back today with the full slate. Now, we're going to move through this one relatively quickly. We have MLB Strategy Show coming up after this. We have, obviously, every team playing today has an injury report submitted, but with a slate this size in the final week of the NBA season, getting an idea of what's going on is more important than the intricacies that we've seen on this show over the past few weeks. So we'll take a look at some bets, and we're going to look at each team and what the potential changes we can see. But things like sim runs to start right now carry very little weight to me. We're going to see guys get ruled out. We're going to see this, we're going to see this entire slate change throughout the day. That's no reason to not get a jump on things, but we don't need the same level of detail that we normally have, especially with 11 games. So if you're here, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Follow me on Twitter, at Josh Engelman. Give a shout out to Sleeper. They're sponsoring. You see the banner up there? That's Sleeper. We like them. We'll talk about them in a bit. I've also got a promo for you on the golf side. Masters teeing off on Thursday. Today's Tuesday. You're going to have 2 days, whether that's the DFS side or the odd shopper sports betting pick'em side, to grab one of our products at a discount, because this is the best time of the year in golf, baby. It's the Masters. So good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody in chat. Let's just get it started right away. But before we do that, I want to check and see if we have a boom bust tool or ownership just yet. Boom bust tool as of 4 minutes ago. Ownership still waiting on it. But that's okay. We're going to start it off and we're going to talk about the Dallas Mavericks. 12.5-point favorites in Charlotte. And we have a 221 total. Now, for Dallas, doubtful tag on Josh Green, which is good to see. Doubtful means he's working his way back off that, what everybody thought was just like a broken ankle. Right ankle sprain. Should be ready for the playoffs. Maxi is questionable. Derek Lively still out with the right knee sprain. Not a ton to like here for Dallas. The Charlotte team, because of their pace, continues to be a mildly confounding team on the NBA DFS side, because they're bad. They're aggressively bad. But they play so slow that it negates some of their bad. So you see Dallas is actually losing 3 possessions below their average just by facing Charlotte. And that's causing us to not really get there. Whether that's... Ooh, I finally see why this is a bit of an issue. Give me 1 second, guys. What I want to do... I want to resort my table here, so these names go back to alphabetical order. I was looking at something differently earlier today, and I realize now that that is not going to help. There we go. So as we look at this one, it's not great. I mean, the highest ranking guy I have for Dallas is Daniel Gafford, and he's 78th. There's not anything really that I would consider a priority from Dallas. You've got Luka out there at 12,700. Like, obviously play him. He 35% usage, 50-ish percent assist rate. You have Kyrie out there at 8,900 as well. But I just don't anticipate getting to a lot of Dallas. We got to remember, we're going to have teams like Memphis who have 8 bodies. We're going to have other teams on this slate missing multiple guys. It's going to be very hard to get to any individual teams that aren't in the best matchups and that are essentially at full strength, or at least have stabilized their pricing around the guys that are out. So Dallas really isn't the team that I'm looking for today. And then we can hop over to Charlotte. Now, Charlotte to me is way different. And this tends to be the case for me, and I hate it, but because they play so slow, they're taking on the number 3 team in pace in Dallas. And because of that, they actually get a massive bump. They gain 3.2 possessions above their average. So while I don't have any, like, they don't have the guy, they've got a lot of guys. Brandon Miller, 6,900, shooting guard, small forward eligible, going to be in and around a fantasy point per minute, ranks 19th. Grant Williams, 5,400, power forward center eligible, ranks 18th. Miles Bridges, 7,800, small forward, power forward, ranks 13th. He's going to be in and around that fantasy point per minute range. You can get to someone like Trey Mann at 5,600. You can get to Poku at 3,700, although I fully expect that value to not look as good. There are a lot of pieces to Charlotte that look better. Certainly Grant Williams' revenge narrative alert in this one, but he could just as easily get himself ejected. For this game, still no, obviously no LaMelo, Seth Curry, Cody Martin, Mark Williams, same guys that are always out for Charlotte. But if I'm getting to anybody in this game, it's Charlotte. And it's going to be the Brandon Millers and Miles Bridges of the world because there's so much flexibility in their positions. Grant Williams scares the hell out of me. We're talking about a guy that's normally like a 0.8 fantasy point per minute dude, playing at a 0.95 rate, probably more like a 0.85 guy. He's just all over the map, but he's playing increased minutes. The minutes on Nick Richards are likely limited a bit. I only have him in for 20. And if that's the case, Grant Williams is going to soak up a lot more of it. So in Dallas and Charlotte, we're paying way more attention to the Charlotte Hornets. Yeah, revenge narrative alert all over the place. Oh, thanks, Sean. Let's try that. My bad. I get it. So anyway, back on the screen, all of my data on the DraftKings and FanDuel side for Charlotte. Showing off Dallas is probably not all that interesting. I don't think you're going to see much ownership coming into anybody here. I'm going to take a quick peek to see if that ownership run is finished, because I'll load up ownership, but I'm not running any sims for myself. Yes, we got ownership 1 minute ago, which means there's absolutely no reason for us to not drop that ownership in and take a peek. Pehera coming out of Memphis, number one guy in DraftKings ownership at 52%, coming in at a crisp 64 on FanDuel. Always good. And now let me grab the boom bust tool. Now we've got everything we could possibly want. PJ Washington is not on my radar. No, not even remotely close. We have PJ Washington currently 49th in ownership. I have him ranked 96th overall. Might be a little pessimistic on his scoring, but not interested. For Dallas, just as a reference point. Oh, I didn't grab projections either. I knew I was missing something. Let me grab that too. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so like no one got north of 6.7% optimal for Dallas. That's Luka. To me, that's unappealing. For Charlotte, you see Grant Williams get to 19% ownership. You see Miles Bridges get to 15% ownership. I seem to be a little bit bigger of a believer in Brandon Miller. But we have Miles Bridges, Grant Williams, and Vasily Micic all north of 10% optimal on Charlotte. The Charlotte side is the side you want. It's really, to me, Luka Doncic or nothing from Dallas. Now, for Detroit, they are 15.5-point underdogs in Philadelphia. It's a 221 total. This is disgusting across the board. Cade, questionable. No Fontecchio, Grimes, Stewart, Thompson, or Moody. Evan Fournier is probable for Philly. Q-Tag Embiid, Q-Tag Harris, Q-Tag Lowry, Q-Tag Maxey, Q-Tag Melton. So five Q-Tags for what realistically could be the starting lineup for Philly. I don't think it is, but it's bad. It's really bad, and we have no idea what we're talking about here. Now, on Detroit, assuming Cade is in, you roster no one. Highest ranked guy I have is actually Chimezie Metu at 4,900. He's pulling 1% ownership. Highest optimal rate for anybody on Detroit, 5% to Marcus Sasser. We are not playing anything from Detroit. Now, if Cade ends up out, you can look more at Jaden Ivey. You can look more at Marcus Sasser. You can look more at potentially Jalen Duren. But I would rather play absolutely nothing from the Pistons. Okay, we're going to put the Pistons to bed very quickly, hop to Philly. Now, Philly gets the good side of the matchup. Bad Pistons defense. They play a little bit faster. No ownership coming into Philly. 4% to Oubre is the highest mark of anybody on the Sixers. Then, if we look at just optimal rates, 7% optimal for Joel Embiid. So that's the highest of anything here. And I kind of agree. Like, do I like Maxey if he plays? Yeah, he's all right. He actually ranks 28th for me. Probably going to go a little underrepresented. But Embiid, Harris, Lowry, Maxey, Melton, we have no idea who's playing for the Philadelphia 76ers today. Let's just, from a projection standpoint, Melton, Embiid, Lowry, Harris, Maxey. That's 143 of the 240 minutes. It's more than 50% of their team questionable today. What are we supposed to do there? So for Philly, we need the answer to these questions. Now, this is a 7 o'clock game. We're going to know all of these guys by 6:30. Every permutation can change what Philly looks like. I don't see any way that we could talk about them. If they're at full strength, you're not going to Philly. That's the easiest thing to say. Game 3, the Indiana Pacers. They're 11.5-point favorites in Toronto, 239 total. This is where we start to get a little bit different. We have Miles Turner, 7% owned. I have him 21st, but center only, so it should drop. We have 15% ownership coming into my boy Aaron Nesmith. We have 14% ownership coming into Pascal Siakam, 8K, small forward, power forward. Those guys do look like the best guys. Siakam ranks 34th for me. Aaron Nesmith ranks 29th. We have Nesmith pulling 18% optimal rate. A lot more negative leverage coming in on Siakam. But those are the three guys you're looking for. I don't really think you need to go to anybody else. There's not really much ownership coming into anybody else other than McConnell and Halliburton, two guys that I don't find very interesting. But I see it as, you know, you get some Miles Turner. Hope he has a little bit of a block party and a great matchup against this crappy Toronto team. And then you go to Siakam and you go to Aaron Nesmith for mid-tier value with an MPE. Upper mid-tier for someone like Pascal Siakam. You know, Siakam is 1.33 fantasy points per minute over the past month. I have him at 1.3 for this matchup. It's a 26% assist rate, a 26% usage rate, a 17% assist rate, a 15% rebounding rate. He's been great, but no overwhelming priorities for Indy, and that shouldn't be all that surprising. These guys have been relatively healthy. These prices have stabilized. There's not as much to take away from the Pacers. Toronto, though, 10% ownership to Kelly Olynyk, 10% to Gary Trent. I'm going to put it out there right now. I have the under on Gary Trent on Prize Picks today, and I think you guys should join me for it. That's for PRA. Toronto, no Barnes, Boucher, Jakob Poeltl, Jonte Porter, Emmanuel Quickley is out. Trent is available. And we have a Q tag on Grady Dick, which can certainly open up a little bit of playing time here. I personally think that Kelly Olynyk is getting underrepresented even in ownership. I like him quite a bit today at 6,700. We've got Barrett and Trent both north of 10% optimal. Kelly Olynyk just shy of it. I like Kelly Olynyk the most here. I wish he had power forward eligibility. Doesn't really deserve it right now, but you know, playing 30, 31 minutes, I have him over 1.2. fantasy points per minute here. When these guys are relatively shorthanded, his usage rate goes up a little bit. His assist rate goes up a little bit. He's obviously going to be a reasonable rebounder. But I think Kelly Olynyk is the best guy you can get to from Toronto. RJ Barrett, if he's back, like, dude's going to shoot. He's 1.3 fantasy points per minute since he's been back. The usage will be there with no Quickley. These guys just don't happen to be that very good of a team. But I don't mind getting there. I have him ranked 15th. He's probably a little under-owned at 7%. The guy I want to talk about, though, is Gary Trent for one reason. Now, we all know how Gary Trent acquires his fantasy points. He's a shooter, predominantly going to get it up from three, and that's going to be the goal. Just out of curiosity, because I actually didn't look, how scoring dependent do I have him? So Gary Trent, of anybody that's real, okay, so that's everybody. I have Gary Trent as the 11th most points, so like scoring dependent guy in the league. 63% of his fantasy scoring comes via just points. And Gary Trent likes to get threes up at a pretty regular basis. If we look at dunks and threes for Gary Trent, this is why I don't like Trent today. Trent takes 8.2 threes per 75 possessions. That's sort of like per 36 minute stats. So that's a lot. That's a lot. That's 87th percentile. Guy likes to get threes up. The big takeaway for me here is that no team limits three-point attempts like the Pacers. They allow a lot of shots at the rim. Gary Trent only takes 2.5 of those. That's 19th percentile. Again, while you may think that Indy gives up a lot of points and their defense is bad, they don't do it by giving up volume from three. And I think that is what limits Gary Trent today. So personally, I am not a fan of Gary Trent based on the matchup. I'm already fading him in the betting markets. I'm hoping that I'm fading him again in the DFS streets. But this is a bad matchup for him, and I don't think a lot of people would say that. People would look at it wrong. They'd look at the pace and they'd look at the defense and they'd want to go to Trent more. But I think this matchup is uniquely bad for him. All right, three games down, eight more to go. Let's talk about the first promo that I want to give you guys. And that's going to be, bang, Odd Shopper for a dollar. The promo code is MASTERS. This deal ends Thursday morning, right when everything's getting started. We want you guys to get in and check out Odd Shopper, and it's only going to cost you a buck. If you hate it, cancel at any time. You won't get charged again. You'll only be out a dollar. If you're in a legal sports betting state or if you use the Pick'em sites and you haven't checked this out yet, I think you're making a gigantic mistake. We've tracked over 40,000 recommended bets on the NBA side this year. They've returned a 4% ROI. That's a staggeringly high number across that many bets without ever sifting them out for like high Odd Shopper ratings or low Odd Shopper ratings. Because we're taking a market-based approach to beating the books. These aren't just picks, so to speak. We're putting the data to work. We're taking emotion out of it. So I've got it up here right now for the sports books. I don't know who Pierre Engvall is, NHL guy. Total points under 0.5, minus 155 at BetMGM right now. It's the number one play you can get from Odd Shopper. Maybe you're on DraftKings and you want to get Phil Mickelson plus 125 in a tournament matchup against Bubba Watson. That's hanging out there with an 8.7 expected value. If you're in the baseball side and you want to hit up FanDuel's home run props, Javi Baez to hit a home run is plus 800 on FanDuel. Now, is it going to win a lot? No. It's a 13% expected win rate, but it's plus 800. The expected value on that play right now is 20%. All of these sorts of things you can grab via Odd Shopper every single day. You could just click this auto refresh button and you're going to get updated lines every couple seconds for any changes. It allows you to react quickly. And you can do the same exact thing on the Pick'em side, whether you're playing at Sleeper, Pick 6, Underdog, Prize Picks, Better, probably missing one, Jock Market, Dabble. I mean, we got it all here. And it's the same mechanism. We're taking a market-based approach to beating these books. You can get in at Odd Shopper for one single dollar. Colin, Pick 6 is already there, brother. $1 for a week. Cancel at any time. Take advantage of this while you can. It ends Thursday morning. Let me take a little sip of coffee here. Get my juices flowing. All right, Miami Heat. They're 3.5-point favorites in Atlanta. And we have a 222 total here. Not a lot to like here from Miami. Even in a great matchup against this relatively bad Atlanta defense, pace has picked up for Atlanta lately too. Highest owned guy is 5% to Caleb Martin. That should tell you exactly what we're worried about here. Butler getting a little bit more love on FanDuel. I have Caleb Martin ranked 39th overall. I have Tyler Hero ranked 45th. Hero has made his return. And just to quickly hit on the Miami Heat injury report, Bam is probable. Hero available. Jovic and Love probable and probable. We have no Duncan Robinson. But we also have no good Miami plays. These guys are priced as advertised. We didn't get anybody north of 10% optimal. Best we did was 8% to Caleb Martin. It's just not that interesting. So we're not going to be getting to all that much Miami. And I want to be clear here, just in case I'm being a little like pessimistic, if you think that there's a play there for you. It's going to be a lot of guys that are very equal to each other. The best thing that I can't recommend everybody on a show, or I'm going to give 80 names and that's going to get anybody nowhere. So I'm going to hit the highest level stuff possible. But if you like Jimmy Butler today, or if you like Bam Adebayo today, on paper, they're not going to grade out as overwhelming plays. That doesn't mean they're not playable in GPPs. They're just sort of the pivots you make away from a chalkier player to bring down your ownership a little bit. So think about it like that. Now we go to Atlanta. Hawks, Nobay, Griffin, Lundy, Okongwu, Trey. We know this. Highest owned guy on DraftKings for Atlanta, 6% to Jalen Johnson. Now I have these guys looking pretty similar across the board. I got Bogdan Bogdanovic ranked 30th. I've got Capella 35th. I've got Hunter and Jalen Johnson in the 40s, DeJounte Murray 50s, Bruno Fernando in the 60s. There are things to like for Atlanta, even in a bad matchup against a good Miami defense and a poor Miami pace, because there's a lot of opportunity to go around on this team. That said, there's no ownership coming into this team. The most optimal we got of anybody was either Jalen Johnson or Bogdan Bogdanovic at 5.8%. If I'm looking at it, it's probably Bogdanovic as my first guy. He's 6,500. He's shooting guard, small forward eligible, so you're getting a lot of flexibility. He's right at a fantasy point per minute over the past month, 0.99. I want to call it 0.95 for this matchup. I think that's fair. A little over 20% usage, a little over 15% assists. He's a great mid-range play that you can mix and match on. But again, he's 5% owned. That's not a guy that you have to actively pay attention to today. We move it on to Boston and Milwaukee, which you kind of want to be a better matchup than it is. We have a Q tag on Al Horford and a Q tag on Kristaps Porzingis. You guys should know exactly what that means. For Milwaukee, Q tag on Giannis, probable tag on Beverly and Middleton. So for Boston, it's a good matchup. Milwaukee's defense isn't that special. It is a bit of a pace up spot. But for right now, I've got everybody in. And if everybody's in, there's no chance you're going to anybody from Boston. 2% ownership to Jaylen Brown, 1% to Tatum, and nothing else for anyone. The highest optimal rate we got of anybody on the Celtics is 3% to Jaylen Brown. None of this looks good. But what if Al Horford and Kristaps Porzingis both sit? Well, then we're getting to a $3,300 Luke Kornet or whatever price Xavier Tillman is. That starts to change up the game. But we need people to be out for Boston before we find this spot as the spot we're really trying to get to. If Boston's at full strength, I don't have a single player on their team ranked in my top 100. Put that into perspective for today. Then we go over to Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee has to deal with the 28th ranked team in pace in Boston, the number 2 team in defense, Giannis is 11-7. He's getting 1% ownership, and no one else is above that number. Think about that. The highest optimal rate that we have for anybody on Milwaukee is 2.9% to Giannis. You're not getting to Milwaukee in this spot. This is just another clear, like, nah, fam, we good here. Now, if Giannis ends up out, we're going to look at Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton very differently than we do right now. But if he's not out, then we're really not going to pay attention to this game. And what should have been like a premier game to watch, it's really only premier for Milwaukee because Boston has lapped the field. All righty. What else do we got? Game six. The New York Knicks. 4-point favorites in Chicago. 213 total. Now for the Knicks. Bojan Bogdanović is probable, and we are well aware Julius Randle going to be gone for a bit. Bulls have a Q tag on Caruso and a Q tag on Dosunmu. Coby White is probable. We actually get Jalen Brunson to 16% ownership today. He's 9,200. He's point guard eligible. Feels a little overowned to me. We're talking about a guy that's been 1.4 fantasy points per minute over the last month. Now, that's not where I have him here. Slow pace Chicago. Knicks are already dead last in pace. This game is a crawl. But I do think Brunson is the best option you can get to. Ananobi's sneaky, but he's so bad right now offensively and is pretty clearly still hurt. So take that where you will. But it's Brunson you want to look at. Now, we have Brunson 9% optimal, 16% owned. So even before I saw that, that's some negative leverage. We have Hartenstein 10% optimal, 5% owned. Maybe a little positive leverage. If you're getting to anybody here with any sort of volume, it's going to be Jalen Brunson. I'm just not all that married to it, if I'm honest. Now, if we hop over to the Chicago side, I continue to get to Coby White. But the problem with Coby White is whatever's been wrong with him since he's got back has been real brutal. So he projects really well for me. Now, he's been a 0.95 guy normally. And that's basically where I have him in this spot. And he's playing 36, 37 minutes a night. However, he's been at 0.8 fantasy points per minute over the last month. That's about as bad as it could possibly be. And let's be clear here. He's played 340 minutes in that time. Whatever has happened to him since he missed those three games has been pretty bad for Coby White in terms of his ability to do anything. I like that because he's now down to 6,600. And I think that makes him a little sneakier. It doesn't seem to matter at all in our projections. We have him 6% optimal. But I think the key takeaway is you're probably not playing much of the Bulls. 5% ownership to Coby White is the highest of anybody. He's a GPP play for me that I would want to like put my name behind. He's one of the first guys we've talked about that's the like give me 15% of him tonight. And I think that I'm making the right decision. After that for Chicago, nothing. 3% ownership to DeRozan. I bet is under, by the way. 2% to Caruso. Now, if we lose Caruso and Dosunmu, yeah, we create a little bit of value. But for right now, I think it's Coby White and Coby White only, and he is a GPP play at best. So let's take a quick look at Odd Shopper and see if we have any interesting bets for anybody out there right now. There's a massive hits bet on Jared Triolo on the MLB side. If you're on BetMGM, plus 165, 22% expected value. Grab that as fast as you possibly can. From a basketball side, Pehera from Memphis rebounds under 8.5, minus 115. That's a 12 odd shopper rating right now at Caesars, 5.6% expected value. Let's just funnel that down to just NBA for a second. We talked about Miles Bridges before. Under 8.5 rebounds for Bridges, plus 100 at BetMGM. That's a 5.8% expected value. I don't hate the idea of going that direction. Oh, and for anybody that's asking about Javonte Green, the only way you're playing Javonte Green is if one of Caruso or Kobe White or Dosunmu are out. If both of those Q tags are in, Javonte Green's not going to play enough for you to play him on a day like today. So don't stress out there. Any other plays that we've talked about so far? Not really. So we'll touch on it a little bit more as we go a little bit further. But let's just take a look at the pick'em table quickly. Whoops. So that you guys can do what I want you to do, which is sign up at Sleeper. They are the sponsor of this show. You see the banner at the top of the screen. $500 deposit match bonus. So anything that you deposit up to $500, they'll match that exact same amount. $100, $200, $300, $400. They're going to match whichever you put in, which is great because that's as big of a deposit bonus as I've seen anywhere in the industry on sports books or on pick'em sites. And the game should just be to acquire money as cheaply as possible. It'll never get easier than that. You could use Odd Shopper for Sleeper. They have dynamic payouts. You can get multipliers on some of your plays, so you can get up to 100x value. Wouldn't hurt to pay off a 100x ticket, that's for sure. There's links in the description to sign up at Sleeper. I think you should check it out. Play through that deposit bonus. If you hate it after that, you can go somewhere else. But don't pass up the opportunities to acquire money in a cheap manner. They've got free squares constantly. You should take advantage of those to keep your costs down at every site. But for right now, I'd love you to sign up at Sleeper. They are my sponsor. Their link is in the description. All right, we go to game number 7. The Orlando Magic. They're 2.5-point favorites in Houston, 214 total. Now, the Magic are rarely a team that we like. They've got a Q tag on John Isaac and a Q tag on Franz Wagner. Neither one of those things is going to be a major issue in this game, but the Franz piece could create value because then you're filling in 32 minutes. But we have 8% ownership to Wendell Carter Jr., whose minutes have been ramping up. We have 7% to Paolo Banchero, who's just good. And then there's nothing else higher than that. We didn't get anybody into 10% optimal. So we're going to need Franz Wagner to be out to create the overwhelming value. But I have Wendell Carter ranked 20th. I think he looks really good at 5,300, especially with these increased minutes. I'll continue to get to Franz. He's back up to a fantasy point per minute over the past month. He's 6,400 and small forward eligible. If he's able to play, he's got a right ankle sprain. I think he's probably a little underrepresented at 4% ownership. And then if you ever want to get to Paolo, that's fine. The decent enough spot against Houston. If we can get Franz out, though, we will create a little bit more value somewhere, whether that ends up being Mo Wagner or Fultz, Ingles, Suggs, Harris is playing more minutes now, maybe Cole Anthony. Someone will look probably like a 10% owned guy if we lose Franz Wagner. But again, we don't have a single guy north of 10% ownership. Now for Houston, Amen Thompson's available. We have no Jayshon Tate, no Şengün, no Tari Eason, no Steven Adams, which is fun to say still. No ownership here either. 7% to my boy Cam Whitmore, 4,400. He's shooting guard, small forward eligible. He is the number one guy from Houston today. We have him 11% optimal, 7% owned. That's the best play you're going to find here from Houston. But we also don't have anybody pulling any real love. The next highest owned guy from Houston, in as bad of a matchup as you can get, number 3 defense for Orlando, 25th in pace, nobody's getting here. I think Dylan Brooks, as usual, as a value option at the beginning of the day, is okay at 4,300. He's a terrible per minute dude, 0.68 over the past month, 0.77 in this matchup. Whitmore is the guy I want the most. He carries the most usage. Can you get to Fred VanVleet, Jabari Smith, Jalen Green? Yeah. Should you go out of your way to do it? No. Do they look like mildly positive leverage plays? They do. But if there's only one guy you could roster from Houston, it's probably Cam Whitmore. I just want to be very clear here. This slate is gross. A lot of teams that are just uninteresting. And then you get to the teams that you don't have a choice about. The San Antonio Spurs are the first of those teams. They're 3.5-point favorites in Memphis, 215 total. And the reason we're getting to so much San Antonio, no Dominic Barlow, no Keldon Johnson, no Chetty Osman, no Jeremy Sochan, no Devin Vassell. We're missing like 180 minutes. And that's everything here. And now we're getting to ownership. Now we're getting to a team that we talk about. 43% projected ownership to Sandro Mamukelashvili. 20 to 25 on Julian Champagne, on Malachi Branham, and on an 11K Victor Wembanyama, who gets to face a Memphis Grizzly team that basically doesn't have real players and certainly doesn't have the one guy on the opposite side that could do anything about him in Jaren Jackson Jr. So we also have 12% ownership coming into Trey Jones. Even Devontae Graham is getting some love. Now, I think Malachi Branham is the best guy you can get to. He's playing big minutes. He's point guard, shooting guard. He's 4,400. That's the guy I want the most. I think Mamu is second. The fact that he's power forward eligible is the biggest piece here. That matters so much more than anything else. And that sort of value will be great. Here's the big takeaway. 36% optimal to Mamu, 23 to Wemby, 15 to Branham, 15 to Champagne, 10 to Trey Jones. I have no disagreements with the ownership that's coming into most of these guys. I've got Malachi Branham ranked 8th. And by the way, I'm quite confident that I have Mamu way under projected, and he still looks good. Branham, 8th. I have Mamu 14th, and I know I have him underprojected. So let's call him another top 10 play. Trey Jones, I have 10th on the dot. Champagne, 22nd. I even have Devontae Graham, 32nd. There's so much to want to get to here. The raw point ceiling of Victor Wembanyama, a 1.75 fantasy point per minute dude, in as good of a matchup as you could possibly dream up. You got to get to a lot of San Antonio. This is the first team that we are overwhelmingly prioritizing. Champagne, Branham, Mamu, Wemby. Those four guys are all 20% or higher owned. We haven't talked about that for an individual team yet. And this is the 15th team we've talked about. Jose, no, I do that on purpose. See? It's more appealing that way. Ricky Pearsall, I do need a Cam Whitmore jersey, but if I'm going to get one, I'm going to get a Villanova jersey. Because I rep for Villanova in a pretty big way. So if I'm going to get it, that's the way I'm going to do it. But that's my squad-ish. Duke is my true, that's my fandom my entire life. But my best friend went to Villanova, was the captain of the rugby team there. So I ride for Villanova in a big way. Spent a lot of time there in college. Now we go to Memphis. And if you thought San Antonio sucked, wait. 50% ownership to Pereira. 40% ownership to Jordan Goodwin. 30 to Scottie Pippen. 30 to Trey Jameson. 20 to Xavier Simpson, 10 to Brandon Clark, 6 to GG Jackson. We're getting 3% to Timmy Allen. Now, I want to be very clear here. No one named Timmy Allen should be in the NBA. Timmy Allen plays for a fourth grade team and probably doesn't get a lot of run. That is not the name of a basketball player. at all. That is a fake person in my mind. However, Timmy Allen is shooting guard eligible and 3,800 and is probably going to play mid-20s to minutes and maybe more. This team is stupid. They're irritating. This is the biggest pain in the ass that exists. Herrera is definitely the best play on today's slate right now at 4,300. He's going to play 30-plus minutes. They don't have enough players. They just don't. They have eight guys today. 20% optimal to Pippen, Herrera, Goodwin, Simpson, 15 to Jameson, 10 to Clark, basically 10 to GG Jackson. Even old Timmy Allen gets in there 2% of the time. This is disgusting. But they also get to face a average at best defense and a fast-paced team. I feel bad for how many people you have to play in this game. But you do not have a choice for Memphis. They've got to play 240 minutes, and they only have eight dudes that can do that. Oh, sorry. They have nine guys that can do that. If you are, it's up to you. I don't know if you are or not. If you're a fan, of the White Stripes, formerly at least, or what is it, the Raconteurs now? Jack White just signed a 10-day contract with the Memphis Grizzlies. So they're likely going to have nine guys. Probably not a great sign for old Timmy Allen. But the takeaway here is this. You have to prioritize this game. There will be multiple players from both teams in just about everything you do. There will be no game that contains more ownership than this game. Some combination you'll have to get to. It's almost impossible for a Memphis Grizzly to not be in an optimal lineup just because of prices and opportunity. We have 200% ownership going to Memphis. That's essentially, even on an 11-game slate, that's essentially an average of two Memphis Grizzlies per lineup. Play them all, essentially. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again here. Brandon Clark is the guy that scares me the most here because I think he's the guy that gets the least amount of minutes bump of anything. I think they're way more likely to run Trey Jameson into the ground or Herrera into the ground or the guards into the ground. For Clark, the most we've seen from a minutes perspective so far is 23.5. It does strike me as the ceiling. Now, you're playing him today at least a little bit. For sure. But 5K center only as the guy that's likely to play the least amount of minutes for Memphis, pump the brakes there. You probably got to pump him a little bit on GG Jackson just because his price is the highest. But everybody else is in. Everybody else. And in a big, big way. Four guys projected for more than 30% ownership. Now we go to the Washington Wizards. 17-point underdogs in Minnesota, 223 total. No ownership coming into Washington. That might change. Q-tag Johnny Davis. Q-tag Anthony Gill. Q-tag Rashawn Holmes. Q-tag Kyle Kuzma. Q-tag Kristen Vukcevic. Do with that what you will. It's not good. We have no idea how Washington will be when we get to this game. They have five separate dudes that I have projected to play with a Q tag right now. Well, Johnny Davis, Gill, Holmes, Vukcevic, Kuzma. That's 99 minutes that we have a giant Q tag on. The highest owned guy is Jordan Poole at 7%. The highest optimal guy is Jared Butler at 7%. We can make no distinctions, but let's be very clear. If everybody happens to be in, run away from this team. Number one defense in Minnesota. They don't exactly play fast. You should not be getting to Washington unless we start losing bodies. Kuzma is at the top of that list. If he ends up out, we do end up creating a little bit more value. If Holmes ends up out, we certainly start looking a little bit more at Vukcevic or vice versa. If Vukcevic is out, you could probably look a little bit more at Holmes. But the most likely scenario is you don't want to get the Washington Wizards against the best defense in the league. Yeah, Pehera. Ta-da. What are we doing here? Is that ownership to pool on FanDuel real? Yeah, I think so, Ron. I think so. $7,300. That's $300 cheaper than he is on DraftKings. He's point guard, shooting guard eligible. I have him at a negative eight target value. That looks pretty good. And at the very least, it can only improve. Like, if Kuzma's out, I 100% think that holds. Now, the Minnesota side. No Towns, obviously, but he's going to be working his way back soon. 10% ownership to Edwards, Naz Reid, Rudy Gobert. I don't think anybody's surprised that those three guys are the guys getting any ownership. I've got Edwards ranked 11th. I've got Naz Reid 26th. I have Rudy Gobert ranked 50th. None of those guys got to 10% optimal, but they do look like the best options, and they're obviously getting the matchup. One of the worst defenses in the league in Washington, the number one team in pace. If you want to get to individual pieces of Minnesota, someone's going to thrive here. Either Naz Reid or Anthony Edwards is going to beat the shit out of this Washington team and hang a big number. I prefer Edwards, but I always prefer Edwards. But if you want to get to one of those three guys, I expect big games. And Minnesota's certainly looking to pick up dubs and leave no doubt whatsoever. Seeding is important in that top three. But I don't need to go, like, diving into anybody further down the list for the Timberwolves. Alrighty, schedule, guys, for the rest of the day. I want to make sure that I hit on this before we get to the end, because we have the MLB strategy show coming up immediately after this. So we're going to pick up the pace just a little bit, but we have the MLB strategy show coming up next with Lofty and Bellman. We've got the NHL strategy show at 2 p.m. MLB Live Before Lock is back at 5. I'm back with Eric for NBA Live Before Lock at 6. And then Greg and I are hopping on Playback exclusively at 7 o'clock. Go to playback.tv/stochastic. Come watch the games along with us. It's a great time. We'll sweat news, bets, DFS stuff, whatever you could possibly want. So that's our schedule for the day. I have one more thing that I need to tell you guys about. It's important. Bang. Bang. What do you think there? It's not just Odds Shopper because of the Masters. 40% off our monthly PGA DFS packages using the promo code Masters. So whichever one you're looking for, the promo code is Masters. You want to get our PGA Sims package for a month? You can do that. And I really think you should do that. We've got the Masters right now. We'll have tournaments for the next couple of weeks as well. It exists for Showdown. It exists for the main slate. Whatever you can want from that regard, you can use it. I'm going to pull this up on the screen right now so you can get a little bit of an idea of what we're getting here. But if I pull up the PGA Sims tool, you can get, you see the price on the screen right there. These are all the monthly packages. 80 for data, 100 for data and Sims, 150 for Sims Max. But you can get 40% off, which means Sims Max for a month is $90. Sims and data baseline package, $60. Or you can get just the PGA data, doesn't sound so bad, for $48. But we want you to get to that PGA Sims Max package if you can. If you're into golf, if you want to test out our Sims, this is the perfect way to do it. This will be the biggest deal that we have going on for sure. And you can get 40% off for the Masters. This deal ends Thursday morning. Before everything gets started, if you don't get it, if you don't use it, you're going to lose out on this possible deal. Going to be a link in the description, but all you have to do when checking out is use the promo code Masters. All right, Sacramento Kings, 5.5 point dogs in OKC, 227 total. We have De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, Keegan Murray, and Trey Lyles, all between 10 and 15% owned. We have DeMontis Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, and Trey Lyles, all between 10 and 15% optimal. I completely agree. I think Trey Lyles looks the best at 3,800. The minutes have ramped up a little bit. They're bringing down Harrison Barnes minutes. We have no Monk. We have no Herder. I like the value of Lyles. He's a 0.85 guy and could play more. My second option would be Keegan Murray at 6K. He's power forward only. The minutes are certainly there. He plays about 35 a night, right around 0.9 fantasy points per minute. Tough matchup, though. I don't mind at all getting to Fox or Sabonis, but this is a difficult matchup. Sabonis should thrive on the boards in this spot. 1.44 fantasy points per minute over the last month. I got it at 1.43. I don't see any overwhelming priorities from Sacramento, but you're certainly getting to these individual pieces at least a little bit, and that's why you see the ownership look the way that it does. For Sacramento, we do have a Q tag on Keegan Murray, so keep your eyes peeled for that. For OKC, Jalen Williams is questionable. SGA is back. No one is rostering the Thunder because of SGA. Now, maybe these guys look better if Jalen Williams doesn't play, but the highest owned guy that we have on the Thunder right now is 4% to Giddey. All of their prices are up because of the injuries we've had lately. The highest optimal rate we have for anybody from OKC is 4.3% to Shea. These guys are tournament pivots at best today. But if Jalen Williams ends up out, don't be afraid to take a look at Shea, who gets a very sizable rate bump. I already have him looking pretty good in a matchup against a not that great Sacramento team because he's the only one that hasn't had the crazy price changes. Chet's more expensive. Jalen's more expensive. Giddey's more expensive. It's hard to get to Oklahoma City unless we don't have Jalen Williams. And finally, we close this one out. 15.5-point favorite Denver Nuggets in Utah taking on the Jazz. 225 total. We have a Q tag on Aaron Gordon. Everybody else is probable. Jokic is 12-2. I don't really see a scenario where you're getting to Jokic before you get to Wemby, but he's going to be out there playing 36 minutes and running everything. We didn't get anybody to double digits in optimal for Denver. I think the best guy individually is probably KCP just because of shooting guard eligibility, but I don't think you're prioritizing Denver. They should win this pretty easily. They probably don't even need to take it out of second gear. They're familiar with elevation, so the Utah home court for Denver isn't as appealing, and it's a 15.5-point line. So let's be clear, not that important. This game is not on the FanDuel slate, so be aware of that as well. If you get to Jokic, go for it. I don't hate it. I just prefer Wemby. Now for Utah, no Clarkson, no Collins, no Dunn, no Kessler, no Markkanen. No one still, though, above 10% ownership. The biggest problem we have here is that 9% optimal Darius Bazley is the highest optimal and highest owned guy for Utah. And I agree with him. For right now, we don't have much better value than Bazley. So I actually want to get to Bazley, and I think that he can play upwards of 24 minutes. Is he good? No. Is he interesting for his value? Yeah, he is. I think Taylor Hendricks is also okay. He's completely unowned. He's 4,800 and power forward only. But this is another game where do you want to get to Utah against a Denver team that's top 10 in defense, not in the top half in pace, and is essentially fully healthy? They're about to go against the number one team in the number one expected team to represent the West in the finals. And Utah is missing basically a full starting lineup. This isn't the spot to want to get to Utah. And that's what this slate looks like, guys. 11 games up, 11 games down. A sim would have been useless to start this day. It's going to get wild as the day moves on, as news trickles in. We'll have you covered there in Discord and in NBA Live Before Lock. If you have any questions and you're a sub, jump into Discord. Don't be afraid to ask them. MLB Strategy Show is coming up next. Don't miss it. Don't forget, Odd Shopper or DFS. The promo code is MASTERS. Whatever you're looking for, sports betting, pick 'em, DFS, we've got a promo for you. Those links can be found in the description of this video. Good luck, everybody. It's been fun. We've got three more regular season days to go this week, and then we close it out on Sunday. I'm having some fun. Thank you guys for being here. Go watch MLB Strategy Show. I'll talk to you guys later.